Adele is one of the most successful artists of her generation. Her last two records combined sold more than 25 million copies, and both won Album of the Year at the Grammys. Now the UK pop star has put out her fourth studio album. It's called 30. It chronicles the emotional aftermath of the singer's divorce. I'm Stephen Thompson, and today we are talking about Adele on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. With Early Paycheck, you can get your direct deposit up to 2 days earlier. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC.
Joining me is NPR Music Editorial Assistant Letitia Harris. Hello, Letitia.
Hi, Stephen. Good morning.
It is great to have you here. So, Adele's studio albums all have numerical titles that roughly correspond with the age she was when she recorded them, and all of them have been blockbusters. In 2008, 19 made her a star thanks to hits like Chasing Pavements and Hometown Glory. 21 made her a superstar on the strength of modern standards like Rolling in the Deep and Someone Like You. 25 was another massive record back in 2015 with huge hits like Hello and When We Were Young. And now 30 has already produced another blockbuster hit with Easy On Me. The songs on 30 find Adele reflecting on her divorce in songs that don't shy away from emotional vulnerability or deep melancholy. 30 also follows her recovery from the damage to her vocal cords that forced Adele to cancel dates on her 2017 tour. Letitia, you have written about Adele for NPR Music. Give us your thoughts on 30.
Yeah, of course. So when Easy On Me came out, I was like, okay, this is more of Adele as Adele, you know, nothing new, no new sounds, that's okay. But this album actually is a huge 180 from what we expect from Adele in a good way. I feel like this is Adele as we've never really seen her. You know, she's no longer leaning just on those powerhouse vocals, like you said, Stephen, but really trying to experiment with pairing her voice and this like new rendition of her voice to new sounds and exploring what feels good to her. I really enjoy this album mainly because I'm a sucker for music made in a Saturn return. You know, that's when the planets are back where they were when you're first born. You kind of got to reparent yourself, learn how to be a human being again. And Adele's really feeling her Saturn return on this album. I feel like it's also the first time that we really, really know what's going on in Adele's personal life. And it's not as isolated as, you know, 21 or 25. So it feels like it's the first time her star power is kind of eclipsed by her humanity and, you know, her ties as like a mother, an ex-wife, a woman. And we hear all these strong feelings she's working through. And it feels like a really great emancipation record, not just from her ex-husband, but her perception of self and, you know, the ways that she's stuck in her own past and how that's coming up in the present. I feel like she shedded a lot of emotional baggage in order to arrive to this point. And with that, she's removed herself from like the safety of what we expected Adele sound to be.
Yeah, I like this record too. I think that it was a little bit slow to grow on me. I think Easy On Me, when Easy On Me came out, that was familiar. That was the Adele that I know. This is kind of the latest incarnation of Someone Like You or Hello. This very familiar, big, booming ballad. I found like the song gets stuck in my head and so I find myself sort of singing along with it or singing it afterward. It is a very easy song to sing along to, but it is not an easy song to sing along to quietly.
No, you have to be very, very loud.
Yeah, exactly. So this song feels very familiar. And I think the rest of the record doesn't as much. You've got a song like Oh My God, which does kind of fit into that Rolling in the Deep model. It's a little bit bigger and again, more familiar. Can I Get It? Sounds like another big hit. But a lot of this record rolls a little bit more slowly. Five of these songs run more than 6 minutes long. And as such, it can feel a little bit meandering, especially late. I think there's some unusual pacing going on where the third track on this record is the 6 minute song. It's called My Little Love, and it includes a lot of spoken word passages.
And I never felt lonely. I love being on my own. always prefer being on my own and being with people.
And like clips of her talking to her son, and it really, to me, just pulls you out of the pace of this record. I think it's a weirdly paced record, mm-hmm. but listening to it over and over again, it did get its hooks in me a little bit more. I do think it's a little bit front-loaded. Mm-hmm. I think that some of that kind of longer, more meandering material late kind of loses me. But on balance, I really appreciated it. And I think that it is her strongest album vocally. I think she has really learned, unfortunately, through very difficult trial and error, kind of how to sing in a way that treats her voice well in the long term. And mm-hmm. she's clearly done a lot of work to rein in some of her kind of vocal excesses in ways that allow this to be, I think, a more vocally nuanced record. And that I really, really appreciated.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought up the voice, the little voice notes, Stephen, because my roommate mentioned something about like, it sounded, this is going to sound crazy, it sounded very Martin Luther King Jr., like she was delivering a sermon.
Not the comparison I expected.
It just felt like she was delivering a sermon more than like an intimate conversation you have with like a son or a friend sometimes. Like the thing she's saying to herself on this album, it very much sounds like she's not doing this for anyone but herself. Like so she can go back and listen to it and be like, okay, here's where you were, love. You've got to pull yourself out of this one. And it is easy listening, and I do agree that it's meandering, but I kind of like the way that it meanders. Like it feels very, you're going to listen to this and you're going to really, really experience it. So the weird pacing to me is like, I think I really like the disruption of how it just jumps around and doesn't really stay in one place. Because there's so many different emotions going on, but she's processing them all through different sounds. Like, she's talking about how she doesn't want to blend in with other people, which I think is really interesting because it sounds like, sonically, she's trying to be a million different people at once on this record. There's, like, an assortment of genres and sounds that she steps into. There's a classical of like Judy Garland, Ella Fitzgerald, and then like the soul of Marvin Gaye that she like tries to directly recall sometimes. And then, you know, there's a camp and pomp of like Elton John, Barry Manilow. And then there's this like jazz-ish and like hip-hop-ish and reggae-ish tradition that she pulls from, specifically with Can I Get It? Can we play that one?
So can I get it right now? Mm. Can I get it right now?
Like, that whistle sounds like an early 2000s song. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what that's from, but it's just so specific and fun. It just feels like she's just trying a bunch of different things, and I really appreciated that about this album.
Yeah, do you have other favorites?
Oh, I really appreciated Cry Your Heart Out, too. I really like the reggae bounce of that one. I really liked All Night Parking.
That's the one with Errol Garner?
Yeah, the Errol Garner sample on that is so interesting to me because she adds in, like, a beat to it too, so it's like this very like classic jazz melody, and I feel like Adele's just kind of like weaving through these different spaces and just like trying to figure out where her voice fits in between, and she does it really well, I think.
I know you've got things to do.
I do too.
I just want to spend all my time with you. I'm so hard to impress, don't leave me on this stretcher alone.
She's done a really great job of adapting her new voice to these different sounds and just trying out different things, you know?
Yeah, and there are also, you know, for fans of kind of her more traditional sound, there are songs that still kind of tap into some of the formulas that she's worked with well. And there are songs where, as much as her vocals are more restrained on the record, there are also opportunities for her to really open the throttle. There's a song on this record late called To Be Loved, which feels like it's kind of just progressing through waves of her attempting to top herself vocally. Let's actually hear a moment from late in the song To Be Loved. I I mean, you can really hear the catharsis in that song. And it mm-hmm. is this big release, especially kind of coming on the album when it does late in the process. There is this like, oh, I can still bring it.
Like, no questions. I can get it out if you want. I just don't want to. Back to your point about pacing, the fact that this song is what, the penultimate song?
Yes.
And then I can't even remember what the last song is called. I'm like, this should have been the last song. Like,
oh,
this
Love is a Game.
Yes. To Be Loved, like, that is, like, the closer, I feel like. And her adding on Love is a Game is just, like, I forget about that one. But it also feeds back into, you know, the top of the album again because it goes back to that whimsical classical space. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, To Be Loved is, like, such a great closer song. But it's not even the closer.
Yeah, again, I'd have put these songs in a different order. And obviously, in this day and age, it's very easy to resequence an album as you want. But it does feel like that moment we just heard should be the, like, mic drop.
Mm-hmm.
I keep coming back, you know, talking about favorite songs, least favorite songs. That My Little Love song where she's singing to her son and it includes samples of conversations that she's having, that song just did not work for me at all.
Mm.
And I think it made it hard for me to get into this record in part because it comes so early. Among other things, I just didn't like what it had to say.
Isn't she like, you know, Mummy doesn't like you as much as anyone else? I was like, well, Adele, I don't know if you should hear all these things. Like, those are a lot of... And then she's like, Mummy's been having a lot of big feelings. Like, damn. I feel like that's a space for therapy for both you and your child. I don't know if these are the exact things you want to be saying to him right now, but, you know, she's processing her own life.
Yeah, and I appreciate the rawness of that. And obviously, like, not every song needs to be emotionally healthy. I think that kind of goes without saying, but it definitely rubbed me the wrong way. I did want to talk about how this record fits into kind of the pantheon of breakup albums. It feels like we've been talking, Kacey Musgraves being a notable recent example,
mm-hmm.
where, like, the public is processing this person's breakup through, as if they should have to.
Because we're so entitled.
Yeah, with the release of this new music. And so I wanted to ask, like, what do you think of this as a breakup album?
Stephen, I'm so glad you asked me that. I actually don't consider this a breakup album. Like, I haven't been through a divorce. I don't know what it's like. And clearly this is inspired by her divorce, but I feel like there's only a couple songs that are like, oh, that divorce was so sad. It feels like more like Adele is trying out her Emancipation of Mimi era, like,
okay,
exploring a ton of different feelings. Like, to me, this is like a falling apart, putting yourself back together album. And I feel, Stephen, when we talk about the pacing of the songs, what's working pacing-wise is the emotional story she's telling. Sonically, it's all a little jarring and it'll take you out here and there. But what she's saying and sharing with us throughout the entire album is so perfectly linear. Not that healing is linear, but it's so perfectly linear with all the different things you discover about yourself when you separate from someone so loved. And I feel like these songs all contain, you know, the really hard feelings of identifying what no longer serves you, what role you have in that distance in your relationship, working on yourself and prioritizing yourself, but then realizing, you know, you kind of have to get over yourself and, like, be there for other people,
right,
specifically her son in this moment. It just doesn't seem like a sad breakup album to me, even though it is very emotionally heavy.
Yeah, and I think the context of her breakup really does fuel that particular quality that this record has. She has said in interviews that she was the instigator in her divorce, that she was just unhappy and felt like her growth was being stifled. And I think coming at a divorce album being the instigator is an interesting perspective to bring, because mm-hmm. so many of the divorce albums that pop up off the top of your head, like the Kacey Musgraves record, or, you know, a lot of them are sort of like, I have had this divorce inflicted on me, and now I'm writing an album about the process of being broken up with, of being betrayed in some mm-hmm. way, and being angry. This is not an angry divorce album or an angry breakup album. This is not somebody processing a lot of negativity. It's much more of a kind of eat, pray, love. I needed to find myself and explore and grow on my own, and I needed to get out of this because I wasn't happy. And that is a different perspective to bring to a breakup album.
Mm-hmm. It's very wild, and I feel like the perspective shift here is so important, because I feel like women are socialized to stay in complacency and just be okay with what they have. And Adele even says, like, it's not that she was necessarily, like, being, you know, harmed in any way. It was just, like, she felt herself stifled mm-hmm. and she couldn't grow. And I feel like identifying that is so underrated there's identifying it and then there's actually acting out on it. And that's the really, really difficult part. Like, that is so much introspection is required to just really like sit with what's making you unhappy and realizing that it might be you. Mm-hmm. And it might be the fact that you need more space to spread your wings. So I feel very proud of Adele, not to have a parasocial relationship with Adele. I feel very proud of her and I feel very excited for other women who will listen to this and be like, I don't like my husband. Mm-hmm. So Adele sitting in the sadness and then kind of like blossoming from it is what I'm really excited to see. And I think she already has.
Yeah. And that kind of brings me to my last question, which is just like, where do you want to see her go from here? I mean, she has certainly mined the territory of heartache and breakups many times over. But like, what direction do you want to see her take from here?
I really want to hear Adele, even if it's just a feature, I really want to hear her on like a UK drill beat. Like, I think her voice would be so cool on that. It'd be very Yebba of her. It'd be very, I guess, modern. I just want to see her experiment more. The different sounds that she pulled out of this record, like going back to her jazz roots and just kind of like exploring a ton of different genres. Like, I want her to like take one genre and just like do everything she can with it, you know? Specifically, I would like it to be a UK drill sound, but I'm okay with her just doing a different sound than easy listening ever.
Yeah, I agree with you. Not necessarily specifically about UK drill, but like, this is a record that is about emancipation in some ways, but it doesn't always sound like it. A lot of these songs kind of hang very heavy, and if you're not listening closely, can just feel very glum. And I think breaking out of that glumness, just having a little bit more fun, musically speaking. I mean, other than Oh My God, like, there's not a ton of, like, Rolling in the Deep style, just like Rumor Has It, you know, kind of big, spangly, musically celebratory sounds. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see her kind of follow through on the emancipation that she's singing about here. But also, I'd like to see her collaborate more.
Me
you know,
too.
It was really, people talked a lot about the fact that the Errol Garner, it's basically a sample because mm-hmm. Errol Garner has been dead for decades. This collaboration, quote unquote, with Errol Garner is the first time she's had a guest feature on her record. There's a version of Easy on Me that is formed into a duet with Chris Stapleton. Mm. And I just like to see her mix it up artistically with more people and just bounce her voice off of other people and kind of learn to make room in songs for other voices. I think will make her continue to grow and develop as an artist, you know, who just keeps getting more interesting.
Yeah. I've changed my mind, Stephen. I want to hear her do a duet with Beyonce. That's my new answer.
Well, if she does an album with Beyonce, then Beyonce can finally win Album of the Year.
Don't tease me.
All right. Well, we want to know what you think about Adele. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Thank you, Leticia, for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Stephen.
Always a pleasure. And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. And we will see you all tomorrow.